It's fitting on this 4th of July weekend, as we celebrate 244 years as a nation, that we give thanks for God's providential guidance and His abundant blessings throughout these years. Let's take a moment during these troubled times to reaffirm our Lord's kingdom reign, the role of government under His lordship, and our calling as Christians in this land. Let's also lift up our nation in prayer, asking for God's gracious healing and His merciful dealings with us. Please join me in prayer. You, O Lord, are the blessed and only Sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light. All authority is yours, both in heaven and on earth. You are wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom, wise in heart and mighty in strength. Indeed, there is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Your dominion is an everlasting dominion. Your kingdom endures from generation to generation. To you and you alone be all honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As Christians, we bow the knee before one Sovereign alone, the one to whom all authority in heaven and earth has been given, our Lord Jesus the Christ. We are the holy ones who bless His name, who speak of the glory of His kingdom and tell of His power. Jesus has come into this world and triumphed over every principality and power raised against the rule of God. He triumphed over them through the cross, and He has fulfilled God's promises of old to establish an eternal kingdom where justice and righteousness will be perfectly upheld forever. When His kingdom comes to its fulfillment, the nations will be healed. Joy and happiness will never be broken. Tears will never again be shed. Death and sickness and sin will be no more. There will be perfect peace. God and His people will dwell together in harmony. Here's an amazing thing that the Bible reveals to us, that through the coming of Jesus, God has broken in to this present age and brought the glory of the age to come. And Jesus was showing this fact through all that He did while He was here with us. Think of the healing of every sickness and the way that He drove out the demons and calmed the raging sea and raised the dead. He was demonstrating the fact that the glory of the age to come was breaking into this present world. And when He ascended to reign, He poured out the Holy Spirit upon His people, the empowering presence of this new kingdom, the deposit guaranteeing all that is to come. So we need to recognize the fact that we live in the overlap of two ages. They exist simultaneously. The old age is passing away. The new age is coming. In Jesus' first coming into this world, He inaugurated this age to come, and He's going to return and bring it to consummation. Okay, we're celebrating Independence Day, but you want to know what the true Independence Day is? It was when Jesus came into this world. And when He returns, it's going to be Independence Day fulfilled. And so we live with this constant tension of an already and a not yet. For example, our sin has already been forgiven, though not yet eradicated. We still have to struggle with it. Jesus is already the Sovereign King, though we still rebel against Him every day. The Spirit has already indwelled us, though we still continue to grieve Him. We've already been raised with Christ, though our bodies will still be laid in the ground and return to dust. We already reign with him, though all around we see oppression and justice. You see, we live in this constant tension of an already and a not yet. Now, why has God done this? Why has he made this overlap? Well, let me just say this, that if he hadn't, you and I wouldn't be here. You see, he desires to bring many people out of the kingdom that is passing away and into the present and coming kingdom of his beloved Son. We who gather together as the church are called to shine as lights of the kingdom of God and to show the way for others to come into it. We're sort of an outpost or an embassy placed here to manifest this kingdom by living transformed lives in the power of the Holy Spirit and to bear witness and call all people, people from every nation, race, religion, background, to enter into the kingdom through trusting in the person and work of Jesus and bowing their knee to him alone. All are now invited, no matter how great and unspeakable their rebellion was against God. They're invited, they're called to receive his free gift of forgiveness, of reconciliation and peace, and to enter into the blessings of this eternal kingdom through trusting in and submitting to Christ alone, the way, the truth, and the life. And when Jesus returns, then shall the heavens proclaim, "The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Independence Day fulfilled. Okay, so there's a big overarching framework for understanding God's reign in this world and his kingdom. And it's absolutely essential, it's crucial, that you and I have this perspective or this lens through which we see and live our lives in this world. Without it, we're going to be miserable and fearful. You see, people who have lost the true and larger perspective regarding the ultimate authority reigning over this world, well, they believe that future welfare entirely depends upon, let's say, the next president or the next political party in power. They've placed all their eggs in one basket. Any good can only be found there. The future rests only there. Ultimate hope is tied exclusively to politics. And this is why we're seeing such desperation in our world, the levels of rhetoric and discord and destruction that have been tearing us apart. You see, in great contrast to this, the Christian's kingdom perspective doesn't conflate America with the kingdom of God. Though we can see much good in our nation, much of it arising out of the impact of Christianity, and though we cherish our republic, we long to see it develop and flourish in accordance with its founding principles, and yet we recognize an infinitely higher ruler, an all-transcending government, who is the sole provider of true freedom and arbiter of justice. And so, though we're saddened or upset by the things we see, we're not devastated or we're not enraged. If our thoughts and emotions in response to the things that are going on become awe-consuming and take us to this place of misery and despair, or cause us to even lose self-control, well, we can know that we are blind to the kingdom perspective, at least for the time being. You see, the kingdom perspective provides us as Christians constant joy in the reigning King. It's brimming over with hope in the coming glory. It also helps us to appreciate the important role of government in this world as instituted by God. Until the kingdom of God comes in fullness, and in order to facilitate its coming, God has provided this world's governments with specific and limited authority. Political authority, no matter what kind and where it may be, is authority from God. When Paul spoke of the persecuting Roman Empire, You know how he described it? As God's servant for our good. Governments exercise authority under God, whether they know it or not. They are called his ministers to serve the welfare of the people, to administer justice and make things right for the benefit of all, to defend those who are oppressed. Governments aren't instituted by God to usurp and suck all authority, but they're rather there to protect and promote the unique authority, the authority of parents, the particular authority of church leaders, the authority of school teachers and administrators, or of officers and boards, or employers, or other distinct entities of God's created order. They have been placed there by God to help all the different spheres of God's creation to flourish. Therefore, as Christians, submitting to government authority is part of our submission to Christ. It's an expression of our obedience to God. And if we are called to serve in government, we are called to serve as public servants and facilitate the distribution of God's goodness to all. The kingdom perspective helps us to see that whichever party is in control, no matter how strongly we object to personalities and platforms, no matter how grievous some of the shortcomings and failures may be, we're called to see our king sort of standing behind those in positions of political authority. And therefore, we're able to pray for our leaders and even submit to them and support them in their task of administering and defending justice. We know who is ultimately in control, and we fear and honor him, so we don't descend into the muck and mire of party wrangling. And it's this kingdom perspective that allows us to have wonderful unity as the people of God, even despite our political differences. I'd like to now lead us into a time of prayer for our nation. Having earlier given praise to the one who reigns over all, let's now lift up our troubled country with all of its great needs before his throne. I'm going to introduce a focus for prayer. We'll be breaking things into sections. And after a few introductory words, I'll say, "Hear us, O Lord, as we..." And then after that sentence, you can turn off your recorder and you can take as much time as you would like to pray over that particular theme. I'll give about a 10-second pause between each section. So let us now come boldly to our Lord's throne of grace in behalf of our country. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Yes, let your salvation be near to those who fear you, that your glory may dwell in our land. We begin with humbling ourselves before you for our nation's sins, for our nation is a sinful people, and we have a great deal of reason to groan over all the horrible deeds that have been done in the past and the ones presently being committed among us. We thank you that even though our land is full of guilt, yet we have not been forsaken or forgotten by you, O Lord. Hear us now as we confess our sins as a nation. We want to next pray earnestly for your mercies on our nation. Restore us to yourself, O Lord God of hosts, and let your face shine that we may be saved. O stir up your might and come to save us. Let us never know what a famine of the word means, nor ever be forced to wander from sea to sea seeking the word of God. Heal our land and world of this terrible virus, and use this present distress to accomplish great things in accordance with your sovereign and most gracious purposes. Hear us, O Lord, as we pray for your mercies to be outpoured. Next, we pray for peace in our land. Lord, let peace be like a river. Let that righteousness abound among us, which exalts a nation, and deliver us from sin, which is a reproach to any people. Help our leaders to turn from party politics and bitter fighting. Bring unity to our land, and turn back the powers of anarchy and darkness that would masquerade as an angel of light. Hear us, O Lord, as we ask you to bring us peace. Next, we pray for the moral decency and civility of our nation. Remove the spirit of uncleanness from our land, and change the speech of the peoples to pure speech, that they may call upon the name of the Lord. Change our public discourse into something that will promote friendship and shared endeavor rather than destroy it. Hear us, O Lord, as we pray for moral decency and civility. Next, we pray for justice in our land. Give to our leaders your justice, O God. Enable them to defend the weak, to maintain the right of the afflicted and destitute, to rescue the helpless and needy, and deliver them from all forms of oppression and injustice. Hear us, O Lord, as we pray for the end of all injustice. And next we pray for our leaders. We ask you to grant wisdom and strength to all of our leaders, O Lord, for the meeting of these unusual challenges. We pray for the leaders around the world, and for our President Donald Trump, for his cabinet, for our Congress and Supreme Court, and all the various agencies of our federal government. We pray for your assistance and guidance in the upcoming elections. We pray for the governors and state leaders, as well as those in local office. Sustain them all by your mercies and work through these times to bring about a renewed sense of identity and purpose in our political life as a people. Hear us, O Lord, as we pray for our leaders. And lastly, we give thanks for our nation. We thank you for all the good you have accomplished through our nation, both at home and abroad. We thank you for your faithfulness through the years, for bringing us through times of crisis that we might continue to bring the blessings of liberty and justice. Hear us as we give thanks for your kindness and faithfulness to the United States of America. Our great Lord and King, we rejoice to know that soon you will return to set all things to rights, to cleanse and heal the world, and to set up your eternal kingdom of glory. We thank you for letting us know the end of the story, so that we might live our days with peace and joy and hope. Make us faithful in bringing to those around us who have no hope, the hope of glory that is found only in and through your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ. We rejoice that through him you have brought the true Independence Day, and we eagerly await its consummation. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit we pray. Amen.